Action Network Podcast.
If you are even remotely a savage, you'll run these people over in a second.
Oh!
Welcome into the Action Network Podcast, presented by BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks. We're here for a UFC betting preview, UFC Vegas 90, from the Apex in Las Vegas this weekend. A week leading up to UFC 300, Brendan Glasheen in the host chair with Sean Zarillo and Billy Ward, our MMA contributors, MMA UFC best bets. We will dive into all of it. Main event, the fight of the night that Sean and Billy are targeting, some underdogs, top props, and best bets. Zarillo's got write-ups for the card over at Action Network. Billy Ward has his luck ratings that we will use throughout the show, and we'll dive in. So let's take a look at the main event, Brendan Allen and Chris Curtis. Allen the favorite, right around minus 200. Curtis the underdog. You can find his price in the plus 160, plus 170 range. There's an age gap here, Zarillo. What do you make of the head-to-head, just from a fight perspective, just as a consumer, and from a betting perspective, how would you want to play it?
Yeah, so this is a rematch from 2.5 years ago. Curtis closed as high as plus 290 in that matchup, sitting about a dollar shorter right now. Anything plus 200 or higher, I would definitely bet him small. Plus 180, I'm considering it. I made this line closer to plus 160, but in terms of a money line side, I think it's Curtis your pass. I think you'd have a really difficult time laying juice on Allen here. Billy is a prop perspective way to play him. I think that's much better than laying juice on Allen. It's just very difficult to justify the price, considering the first fight at worst was 50-50. If not, Curtis was having more success just because he was hitting the head more frequently. Curtis is the better pocket boxer. Allen is the more natural middleweight. He actually looked the full weight class bigger in the cage against Curtis, just much taller, and he's the better kicker. He was kicking to all three levels. He's able to play the range game outside against Curtis, and since they last fought, we've seen fighters successfully play that range game against Chris Curtis, stay on the outside, pick him apart with kicks, make him chase them around the octagon and really frustrate him. So I would expect a little bit of a different approach from Allen this time, a little bit more aggressively on the kicks, less following Curtis around the cage, more so making Curtis probably follow him. Two things I really noticed in the first fight, though, on the Allen side that bothered me. Number one is the fight IQ, the fact that he was trying to exchange hooks in the pocket when he got knocked out, when he's the taller fighter. And in fact, in that second round, he had been having noticeably more success through the first minute than he had in the first round. So seemed like he was starting to take over the fight a little bit. Then he decided to swing hooks to the pocket with a guy who's more durable and has more power than he is. That was a very bad idea. Number two, at the end of the first round, Allen, who had already gone for a takedown, gotten Curtis's back. Curtis shrugged him off. He went for a takedown again at the end of round two. And when he wasn't able to get it, he fell back for a heel hook, which allowed Curtis to finish the round on top, landing ground and pound. And ultimately, in a 50-50 round, Curtis took it on all three scorecards, potentially because he finished the round on top, landing ground and pound. And that was Allen's fault, who gave Curtis that position. So I think Allen has some major fight IQ issues. That said, it's been 2.5 years since their first fight. He's a bit older, now in his physical prime. Curtis potentially passed his physical prime. And I think Curtis has looked kind of flat in his recent performances. Even his last fight against Marc-Andre Barrio, very close decision, easily could have lost that. Don't love how he's looked in his other recent fights. I think athletically, he is starting to decline. And I think Brandon Allen remains in the prime of his career. So Allen has all the grappling upside of plus money. Curtis is a really good anti-grappler. I'm not really sure how much time they spend grappling. I think you get more of a striking fight, but I think Allen with the kicks has the potential to just stay on the outside and really frustrate Curtis. So line probably wrong to me, just because I think Curtis does push this closer to a 50-50 fight on the feet. But in terms of the grappling upside, baking that in terms of the age, baking that in, I could see how you get to this number. And considering the adjustment from the last fight, like I said, I want plus 200 or better probably on Curtis if I'm going to bet it. But absolutely would not lay juice on Allen. Defense strikes at 46%. He's very vulnerable. Two strikes, don't love his striking defense, and kind of has that tall man defense to a degree. So could absolutely see Curtis clipping him again. But think I'm just going to wait for a better price than the underdog here.
Allen, the 28-year-old, Billy, Curtis, 36 years of age. In your write-up, you think the money line price is pretty fairly valued. So how would you approach a bet to this one outside of the money lines?
Yeah, and I believe I put in there, you know, if we saw significant movement in either direction, I'd kind of be fine with either guy. Haven't really got too much of that. I think if you're going to take Brendan Allen, you got to, or honestly, probably Chris Curtis as well, you got to take the inside the distance. You know, it's a 5-round fight. There's plenty of ways this one can end. Sean pointed out some possible cardio issues. You know, that's a long time to stay on your feet against a guy like Brendan Allen, who's a great grappler. So I'm taking Brendan Allen inside the distance at plus 130. Sean teed up a lot of it, but that was the last time Brendan Allen lost, was 2.5 years ago against Chris Curtis. Since then, he's 6-0, 5 submissions. You look over at Chris Curtis's record since then, not so good. You know, he had one more win against Adolfo Vieira, and then he went 2-2-1 over his next 5. The biggest thing for me, Sean said it, he has been a tremendous, you know, takedown defense guy. He got taken down 3 times by Nassourdine Imovov. First time anyone officially took him down in the UFC. And I think some of that is because of an athletic decline from Chris Curtis. He's 36. You know, Brendan Allen was only 26 when they fought the first time. Still not anywhere near his prime at that point. We've kind of seen that flip a little bit. You know, typically there's an advantage for the fighter who won the first fight in a rematch, but there's also an advantage for the younger fighter. It's an 8-year age gap. Then the only thing Sean didn't mention, Curtis came into this one on a little bit of short notice. It was originally supposed to be Marvin Vettori. Curtis, much like his, you know, teammate and best friend Sean Strickland, I think is kind of just always ready, always sparring. I'm not super worried about that, but is that enough to make me feel, you know, 5-10% better about Brendan Allen, especially given the weird matchup that Brendan Allen presents? I think so. So I love the progression we've seen from Allen. He was always a great submission grappler, but he's added some really impressive wrestling lately. We got the small cage. We got 5 rounds to work. I think he's able to finish it if he gets the win. So plus 130, you can see plus 125, other books. Anywhere you can get around there, I'd take that.
Yeah, I'd lean to the under inside the distance as well for either fighter. You know, they're going to get after it. I think this should be a relatively high pace. They were also having a good time in that first fight. They were trash talking, but like amicably, and then going right back to throwing really hard strikes and trying to get each other out of there. It wasn't like two friends going after it. It was two high-level combatants who are actually having a good time beating the crap out of each other. So, yeah, I think one of them probably gets finished at some point. And I'm seeing a lot of takes this week about Curtis's durability, about how he's, you know, this significant durability advantage over Allen. Maybe, but he's been put out bad in the past. Ray Cooper put him out badly in a fight. So I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility that Curtis gets knocked out here. I think Allen hits very hard. He's long. He landed a couple of head kicks pretty flush in that first fight, and one that Curtis basically just blocked with his glove at the last second, that if that landed, that could have ended the fight too. They were both landing head kicks. Curtis doesn't really throw many kicks. He landed a head kick on Allen too. So yeah, I think these guys are going to go a bit wild. They're going to put a show in the main event. I think somebody does fall just by the nature of the pace.
Well, and everyone's durable until they're not, right? Like, this is a guy who's 36 years old, you know, gets in a lot of brawls. He's fairly defensively sound, but just due to the pace that he fights at, they call him the action man for a reason. Like, that's not going to last forever. Maybe today isn't the day that it ends, but you start getting up there in age, taking a lot of damage, now fighting bigger guys, you know, as a former welterweight. Sure, he has been durable, but once we get up there in age, I don't know how much we can count on that moving forward.
Constantly sparring in the gym as well definitely takes some mileage off the durability too.
Yeah.
Let's go to the featherweight matchup between Alexander Hernandez and Damon Jackson. Very similarly priced to the main event. Hernandez at minus 200, Damon Jackson plus 160. Both fighters in their 30s. Slight edge, I think, to Jackson for his takedown numbers when you look at them head-to-head, Zerillo. Same question, though. How do you evaluate the pricing? And if you're not a fan of the moneyline pricing, what's the approach?
Pre-fight, it's Hernandez or pass. Hernandez round one props. Hernandez round one KO. I think those would all interest me just blindly. The prices, though, aren't particularly appealing. He's always a problem for people when he has a physical advantage, and Damon Jackson typically struggles when his opponents are more physical than him, and there is a pretty big difference in physicality here in terms of athleticism, speed, explosiveness here in the first round. But Damon Jackson has a ton of heart. He's really good at working his way back into fights, and we've seen Hernandez's cardio drop off dramatically in the past, which is odd considering he trains at altitude in Colorado. I don't necessarily love the cardio for Damon Jackson either, though. I've seen him tire late in fights. He just seems to have more heart than Hernandez does. So if they both get tired, I do think Jackson definitely has a chance to pull this one off late. If anything, I'm probably leaning to the under or the ends inside the distance. I think somebody ends up either getting knocked out or quitting due to cardio here. The price is a bit steep, potentially a parlay piece, potentially betting the under 2.5 closer to minus 175 at a shorter price. But I think Hernandez early, either late, potentially leaning Jackson late. So definitely would look to a Jackson live bet potentially, but want to see how the cardio dynamic looks after the first round. Like I said, Hernandez does train at altitude. there is a chance that his gas tank gets better at some point. We haven't seen it yet, but still working on it and still on the younger side of the age curve for his division.
Billy Ward, in your Action Network UFC luck ratings, the Jackson price, the odds have risen on his moneyline price. Any interest there, or is there a potential live angle?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think the live bet on Jackson is probably my favorite play here. Okay. With that said, you know, this is a lower level event. We got a lot of good sports going on Saturday. I'm not going to assume that anyone is spending their Saturday night watching this UFC card. I would still take Damon Jackson pre-fight. I kind of don't get the line here. You know, Alex Hernandez's only win in his last four fights was against 40-year-old Jim Miller. And Miller had some moments there. I mean, it wasn't close, but it wasn't a blowout either. You know, Hernandez got knocked out by Billy Q. Damon Jackson went to a decision with him. We're doing MMA math, which you should never do. But, like, just if you look at the level of opponents they fought, I don't really see how Alex Hernandez is considerably better than Damon Jackson. All of his win equity is early. He's either going to finish him right away or probably not win. In theory, yeah, his cardio should get better at some point, but he's not new to the UFC. He's had 12 fights. I don't think it's going to turn around all of a sudden at this point in his career. So, obviously, like, the best, if your goal here is to maximize your expected value, wait till, you know, late in the first round, after the first round, live bet on Damon Jackson. With that said, I still think there's a value on taking him pre-fight at plus 170 or so. I'd make this one fairly even, all things considered, with most of the win equity for Hernandez early and then Damon Jackson round two on.
You got thoughts on that, Zarillo, as far as a live play on Jackson?
Yeah, no, that's where I'd lean. I'm not so certain that Jackson's going to be able to deal with Hernandez's physicality. There's a big difference, I think, here in terms of strength, in terms of just general explosiveness. Damon Jackson did fix his hairline, so I don't know how that much lends to his win probability in this fight. He no longer has the Landon Donovan hairdo. He looks like a male model now, so maybe feeling a little more confident in the cage will help boost his potential. But no, Alexander Hernandez fights always have this similar dynamic where he's very explosive athlete early, but because he powers into every technique, he throws everything behind all of his punches. He puts everything into powering his takedowns and then using all of his strength to keep opponents on the ground. So I think I'd be more encouraged to bet Jackson if Hernandez lands a takedown and then is just like using all of his energy on top in the first round, or if he goes explosively for a finish and doesn't get it. Maybe even a 10-8 round where you get a huge price on Jackson after round one, after he gets absolutely beat up. And then you assume that Hernandez gassed himself out trying to finish. So just keep an eye on the first round, the flow of the first round. If it's a moderate paced kickboxing match and Hernandez doesn't seem like he used too much of his energy, yeah, I'm less inclined to live bet it. But if he's continuing to explode forward, put, you know, pressure on Jackson early and he doesn't win the fight, that's where I'd be more inclined to live bet Jackson.
All right, come for the hygiene handicap, too, here on the UFC betting podcast, the UFC previews here on the Action Network podcast.
Got that passport stamped in Turkey.
The Action Network podcast is presented by North Carolina's newest sports book, BetMGM. Use the bonus code ACTION when signing up to get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. For new users in Arizona, Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kentucky, Louisiana, Maryland, Massachusetts, Michigan, New Jersey, North Carolina, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, and Wyoming. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Let's go to underdogs. Good week for dogs, Zarillo? Anyone that jumps out to you?
Yeah, there's four dogs that I like in this card. I'll save one of them for my best bet. The underdog that I prefer besides my best bet the most is Cynthia Calvillo at plus 110. She's 36. She's on a five-fight losing streak, although to very good competition, and I'm really not impressed by her opponent, Pierre Rodriguez, who has gassed out against grapplers in the past. So Calvillo here, to me, has the grappling upside. I think she's faced way better competition. This is her second fight down at a lower weight division where Billy and I both had significant concerns about her cutting down last time. She actually looked pretty okay, and this is her second time doing it. So significantly less concerned about the age cut or the weight cut at this age this time. And I think she eventually takes over this fight, either with her grappling or just on cardio and pace over the final two rounds. So Cynthia Calvillo, at any even money, plus money price, I think is fine. The second would be Lucas Brejci at plus 200 or better. This is post-USADA Lucas Brejci. This guy looks absolutely ripped. We've talked about other fighters in recent weeks whose physiques have changed. Lucas Breschke's physique has very much changed. And I think he's getting a similar matchup here to what he did against Carl Williams a couple of fights back. But I think Williams was better at what he does than his opponent currently. So facing, I think it's Johnny Walker's brother. I heard some people say that. They don't really look alike, so I'm not 100% sure if that's true. But his opponent is going to look to wrestle him, get on top of him, has terrible striking. If this stays on the feet for any extended stretches, I think Breschke lights him up. Breschke puts out a ton of volume. He's capable of trucking like 200 strike attempts over the course of 15 minutes, which is not very common for heavyweights. So this could be a fight where judges are weighing damage against control. Breschke potentially on the bottom for significant stretches, popping back to his feet, likely landing the shots on the feet once they're both there. So I think he's going to need to scramble, but I like how he's looking coming into this fight. So Breschke plus 200 or better. And then finally, Daniel Argueta at about plus 130. He's got the grappling upside of plus money here. He's facing a really good prospect in John Matsumoto. I think I'm actually pretty high in Matsumoto, but this is almost a system play, betting against these Dana White Contender Series graduates when they're favorites, especially against UFC veterans. So Argueta has proven that he's a very strong grappler. We'll see if he can survive for the 15 minutes. And that one, you know, the opposite of the Breschke fight, I think Matsumoto favored, likelier to land more damage. Breschke, underdog, likelier to land more damage. I think you're going to need Argueta to control him for significant stretches in order to cash that ticket. There's a chance that, you know, he looks like he's winning the fight and ends up losing a split decision. But taking the plus money on that, happy to do it against Contender Series products. So smaller bet on Breschke and Argueta than I am on Calvillo. But I do like all three underdogs for this week.
Google is a beautiful machine. Valter is 6 years younger than Johnny. They are half brothers. They grew up in separate homes in Brazil.
Ah.
Same father, not the same mom.
Yeah, and way different fighting styles. You know, Johnny Walker's this crazy, explosive striker, does wild things in the cage. Valter is looking to take you down and control you and just kind of uses weight to stay on top of you. Completely different physiques, completely different fighting styles. So could have been and they look completely different as well. So kind of explains the confusion as to whether they were actual brothers or not.
They really do look pretty different.
Yeah.
They got the mom's genes.
Yep.
All right, Billy Ward. You have nothing with Zarrillo as far as dogs. You have a different underdog on the prelim card.
I do, and I have a question for you, Brendan. Do you know what Cesar Almeida is? He's a store brand Alex Pereira. That is exactly what we're getting.
Store brand.
Fight.
Here we go again.
Here we go. We have a 36-year-old Brazilian guy coming in, extensive kickboxing record. Actually fought Pereira three times in kickboxing, winning one of the three. Went to decision on the other two. Making his UFC debut, looked fine on the Contender Series. You know, the striking was everything as advertised. You're getting him around plus 130. He was plus 140 early in the week. Money's came out on him. I'm not super impressed with his opponent, Dylan Budka. Kind of just looks like a generic younger wrestler guy from Ohio. I'm banking on Almeida, like Pereira before him, working really hard to work on this takedown defense as he comes into the UFC, but should have the athletic advantage, should have striking advantage. Just more overall fight experience, even though less of it is in MMA. I think Budka's probably actually going to have the longer and better UFC career if he's able to hang around, but I don't think it's yet. And like I said, dollar store or store brand Alex Pereira is coming into the UFC. I feel like this is a fight the UFC is making to try to see if they've got something with Almeida, just because how cool would that be for history to repeat itself? And Pereira now plays the role of Izzy Adesanya, fights a guy who they had some history with. So I think they're trying to build up to that maybe a little bit here, see if they've got that, giving them a little bit of an easier, stylistically better matchup to start with. But we're getting it at plus money, so I'm going to take that.
I think that's another fight, too, potentially, where Almeida is spending significant time on bottom, right, gets taken down, spends a lot of – his opponent gets a lot of control time, but when they're on the feet, he's the only one landing strikes. So very much a potential where you get, like, a wonky split decision. Getting the plus money on a pre-fight is what you want, but I think there's a good chance in this fight, too, like a wonky split decision where you get control time weighed against damage.
And Budka on the Contender Series, he got two takedowns, I believe, and only landed like 22 total strikes, including ground strikes. So he's going to take you down and then just blanket, especially with a guy as dangerous as Almeida coming back. I don't think he's going to take too many chances on the ground. So that's a really good point, too. We usually don't look at those like, what if the judges screw it up plays with bigger guys, but there's certainly an angle for it here.
Yeah.
Billy, when you go to the grocery store, do you shame people that store brand shop?
All right, I'm going to make an embarrassing confession here. I get all my meat from a delivery service that I won't name until we get sponsored, and then my wife does the rest of the grocery shopping. So I am totally checked out of that process.
Okay. Seems like you don't like store brand stuff at all.
I don't know. He's better than the store brand guys. So maybe he does. He's partial to store brand.
There was a time in my life that, you know, the store brand got me through some tough times as a struggling professional fighter. But, you know, we've all leveled up since then.
Well, now I'd like to throw this in there. You know, Zerillo covers baseball for us. He's on Payoff Pitch. He's got write-ups at Action Network. Billy, you're having so much success these days with your yes run first inning, no run first inning. Maybe now you can, instead of getting the store brand sour cream, you can upgrade to some of the chains. You know, like
we're going past the chain. We're going to the, you know, fancy grocery store that also will not be named unless they decide to start paying us.
Got it. Well, you can get your sour cream delivered to you now or whatever item it may be. So, all right. I love the store brand handicap. Very good. All right. Let's go to props. We'll do best bets before we wrap it. Props, Zerillo, anything here that jumps out to you?
Ignacio Bahamonde is round two and round three. The prices aren't great. +450, +650 respectively, but I think people know how this one goes if it gets out of the first round. Christos Gaga is very reliable to gas after one good round, even after like 2.5 minutes. Four of his 11 losses have come in the second half of round one. Four of his 11 losses have come in rounds two or rounds three. So only made it to decision and lost three times. Bahamonde is a pace and cardio machine. You can grapple him early, though. He's taller. He's longer. Probably going to get put on his back. May scramble up. Knock Giagos out in the first round. I'm hoping Giagos controls him for most of that first round. We're able to live bet Bahamonde after round one, and that's something I would absolutely recommend. But pre-fight, I want Bahamonde round two at about +450 and round three at +650. So round two, round three props, usually find one fighter on every card worth betting. Given the cardio discrepancy, I think his round two, round three on top of the live bet are the way to go.
Billy, a long shot top prop for you on the card.
Yeah, you know, this is, I'm also taking the money line here for a little bit of a sprinkle, but that's Nora Kronol. Her knockout odds are +1,100, which I just do not understand against Melissa Mullins, or some places listed as Melissa Dixon, so make sure you're paying attention there. Mullins was knocked down in her first UFC fight against a grappler, Irene Alexeva, came back to win the fight, you know, not super convincingly, but was fine. Kronol is 7-1 as a pro, 5 knockout wins. She's a French striker. Like, I truly don't understand the discrepancy. I don't think her money line should be this long. And then I also don't understand the knockout being this small of a percentage of her win condition against a fighter that we just saw get dropped in her last fight not that long ago against a far less decorated striker. So +1,100, that's going to be a little sprinkle. Probably have half a unit or so on her money line. It also, you know, around +300. Don't get that one either. Kind of goes with some of Zerillo's picks here. I think you could blindly bet all three women's underdogs here and probably make out okay by the time the night is said and done.
What's that fight line to go to a decision? I'm curious. Obviously, you're betting the knockout prop. I'm going to take a look at the decision because we constantly talk about, it's -220 to go to a decision. So, you know, you probably give her more finishing upside, right? But this fight is juiced to go to a decision. Big discrepancy in the money line. That lends itself to a pretty particular, like, way that we lean when these fights are juiced to go to a decision and the money line is wide. It usually lends itself to liking the underdog, right?
Yeah, no, for sure. And then that's hopefully the underdog. You know, she got a shot at covering that even without the knockout. But I just tend to think that knockdowns will eventually regress into knockouts. If you look at a fighter who's been knocked down a couple times, hasn't been finished, you can't play that game forever. Like, you're going to get hit just a little bit harder or just get a jumpy ref. I mean, anyone who watched last week's events, we saw all kinds of weird refereeing, early stops, late stops, eye pokes, groin shots. Like, any of that weird stuff can come back to haunt you. And the only way to avoid that is to not get knocked down in the first place so you don't give that opportunity. So, yeah, I think there's some regression due there. I kind of understand the math, I guess, on why the knockout odds are so long, but I would possibly make that as Cornell's likeliest win condition, honestly.
Okay, let's wrap it. Best bets. Perhaps final bets. Zerillo, I know you teased this. You're targeting another dog. Is this actually a best bet?
Best bet, yeah. My favorite underdog on the card now. You are betting into something that is a little odd because Jermaine Durandamy has not fought since October 2020. And she had a kid in March of last year, but she got right back into the gym. She is as physically like imposing of a 39-year-old woman as you've ever seen, but a decorated kickboxer and a incredible UFC resume. Her only losses are to Amanda Nunes in the UFC. She subsequently joked out Juliana Pena, showing that while training for Nunes, her grappling had clearly leveled up. Undefeated kickboxer, She actually took a pro boxing, or she took a boxing match against a man 40 pounds heavier than her like 7 years ago and knocked him out. So Jermaine Durandamy is a vicious striker, an extremely talented and technical striker. You're really only worried about the regression here post, you know, post motherhood and also after 3.5 years on the shelf. But other than that, I would probably make her a minus 200 favorite in this fight. Mm-hmm. She's taller, she's longer. And also, Norma Dumont has never made 135 pounds at the UFC. She missed making 135. She missed trying to make 145. She's only made 135 previously before her UFC run. So Dumont typically struggles with cardio late in her fights. She typically is looking to hold opponents against the fence, cage push them, maybe get them down. I don't think she's getting Durandamy down here, assuming Durandamy is still, you know, relative to what she was previously. I think Durandamy is the stronger fighter. She's got the reach advantage. She's going to pick Dumont apart on the feet and potentially finish her. So I like Jermaine Durandamy at plus money here. I think all of the physical stuff, the physical regression is baked into this line. Otherwise, I would make her a pretty significant favorite. And I think rounds two, rounds three, she potentially dominates given the cardio dynamic. If Dumont is actually able to make the weight, there's a chance this fight doesn't even happen if Dumont doesn't make weight. So definitely keep an eye on the weigh-ins for both fighters, but more so for Dumont, who I think has the potential to really be drained by the back half of this fight.
All right, Billy Ward, best bet for Saturday.
Yeah, I'm looking at Chepe Mariscal. You can get him slight plus money still. This line has came back in a lot, but this is one that I totally agree with the line movement. He is just one of the most battle-tested non-UFC fighters, or like pre to his UFC career. He's one of the most battle-tested guys I think we've ever seen. And one of his last fights we were talking about, I think we counted like 7 or 8 future UFC fighters on his record before he got to the UFC. And it's paid off for him. You know, he's picked up 2 big wins. He had the awesome throw on Jack Jenkins that led to, depending on which sports books you ask, either a knockout or a submission, which I'm still a little upset about. And he's fighting Morgan Charrier, a French fighter. A lot of these French fighters don't have a lot of grappling background or experience. Like, it's a big kickboxing culture. They do a lot of that. You know, it's where Ciryl Gane's from, Manon Fiorro, all, you know, very striking-based fighters. And he looked good on his feet against Manolo Zucchini in his debut, winning a fight by body kick. I don't know how long this one stays on its feet, especially when we consider we've got, you know, the smaller cage. Chepe's a great grappler, like always coming forward. He's got some judo in there with the throws, good wrestling. I wish I would have got this one earlier in the week when he was plus 130, just like I'm sure Sean wishes he got Iron Lady at plus 160 or whatever. These are fights where I definitely agree with the line movement. Not always the case in the UFC, but I think both at any kind of plus money are still solid picks, and that's including Iron Lady and Sean's pick.
All right, guys, UFC Vegas 90 gets underway tomorrow afternoon. All the fights available, prelims and the main card on ESPN Plus. Big card next week, right? You've got UFC 300 next week with Pereira and Hill as the featured pay-per-view main event, the title fight. Anything you guys want to tease on that front for next week, or are we still looking to dive into some more sports week of?
No, thank you for opening that up. We just talked about how we had some fights we wish we would have taken those lines on Monday. I'm actually doing a quick solo video on Monday, kind of a video version of my luck ranking. So
awesome.
Keep an eye out for that. We're going to look for any spots where we think we can get the better of a line before they move against us. CLV doesn't always work in UFC, probably less than any other sport. I had CLV on all of my picks last week and barely won any of them. So, you know, bet with caution when we're doing it, especially early in the week, but we're going to have that probably up Monday afternoon.
Awesome.
Yeah. My very brief early take is that Jamahal Hill would be favored if he wasn't coming off of Achilles surgery. But there's a chance Alex Pereira just kicks his leg and the fight is over. And getting basically a pick and price on Gaethje and Holloway to end inside the distance, I kind of think you need to take that. That fight's going to be a high-paced war. If Holloway gets hit the way that Arnold Allen was hitting him by Justin Gaethje, he's going to sleep for the first time. And Gaethje is very capable of folding to body shots now. We've seen his durability weaken in recent fights. So, yeah, I'm surprised to see that fight minus 120 to end inside the distance. That seems short.
Okay, keep an eye out. We'll be back next Friday for our UFC betting preview here on the Action Network podcast for UFC 300 pay-per-view card. Find Sean Zarillo and Billy Ward in the Action Network app. Want to be sure to follow those guys, especially as we discussed throughout the pod, some of those live plays that could come into action, want to keep an eye out and follow those guys and get notifications when picks are put in the app. For Billy Ward and Sean Zarillo, Brendan Glasheen, thanks for tuning in. Keep an eye out for everything UFC. Billy, good tease for next week. Also find Billy Ward's write-up, his UFC luck ratings, in the Action app, actionnetwork.com. Best of luck this weekend. Enjoy this card. We'll get you set for next week when we rejoin you on Friday morning next week on the Action Network podcast presented by BetMGM.
Action Network reminds you, please gamble responsibly. If you or someone you care about has a gambling problem, help is available 24/7 at 1-800-GAMBLER.